Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to the unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant he had made the first old. Now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. Amen. Receive. I want to say good evening. It's good that God has blessed us with yet another opportunity to come and serve him in spirit and in truth. And what a wonderful day it has been. Our God is good beyond what we can even think or imagine. We want to look at the book of Isaiah today and see some of the things that Isaiah was able to show us about the church. I'm more than sure that if we were to go back in the first century when the church first came into being, we probably wouldn't recognize the church as it is. And if they were to come back forward and to this congregation and see, they wouldn't recognize the church as well as it is on this day. But Isaiah gave us some identifying marks, some things to look for. If you're looking for the church, Isaiah said that it's coming. He foretold that it was coming, and it came into existence on the day of Pentecost. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, you find the prophet Isaiah. He foretold the establishment of the church. And in Acts chapter 2, as I said before, it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But Isaiah said more than just the establishment of the church. He talked about the nature of the church as well and what we ought to look for when we're thinking about being a part of God's church or even identifying with God's people. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and exalted above the hills. Isaiah, he is using a figurative speech to show that the church was to be exalted in its nature and that the church was to occupy an exalted position not only there but also in the heart of man. For the church of the Lord is the only institution upon this earth, the only institution that's known to man that is completely spiritual in its nature. In Luke 17, when the Pharisees questioned Jesus concerning the coming of his kingdom, Jesus answered them saying these words, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall we say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. He's simply saying the kingdom of God, the church, is not a material kingdom that's built with man's hands, but it was to be and is a spiritual kingdom that comes down from heaven from God. And the kingdom of God can only exist in the lives of those who have the seed of the kingdom of God planted within their hearts. It's the word of God. It's how we're going to be a part of the kingdom. It's how we're going to see the kingdom. It's how we're going to know that the kingdom is within us, that it dwells within our hearts, that the kingdom dwells within us with all the love that God has given to it, and that if the affections of the members of the church are obligated to give to God, the church in its exalted position as God gave it in his exalted position. He gave us the word of God that we might see the church. And Isaiah from way back when tells us what some things we ought to look for when it comes to the Lord's church. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 47, the Bible says that Jesus taught that the kingdom of God ought to be the most important thing in our lives. It ought to be exalted above everything else. It ought to be our top priority. He compared in these verses the church to a merchant seeking after goodly pearls, who when he had found that one pearl of great price, he sold all that he had and purchased that pearl for himself. Jesus said that the church was like a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man found it, he sold all that he had and he bought the whole field. The church ought to be more important to us than all the material things in the world that's combined. It ought to be first priority. It ought to be exalted. It ought to be exalted in our lives to the position that God gave it in the Bible. We ought to love the church that Christ purchased with his own blood. Isaiah, in speaking of the foretelling of the church, said that we ought to exalt the church because God has exalted the church as well. We ought to love the church because Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for it. And we ought to keep it that way. Jesus says, lay not for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where treasure, where moth and rust will not corrupt it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I'm saying that if we can't see what Isaiah is talking about, exalting the church here, then we really don't know whether we love the church or not. And if you don't love the church, I can tell you the reason why. It's because you have not placed your treasure in the church. Your treasure is somewhere else. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Isaiah speaks to us, and he says that the church of today, just as it was in the past, just as it always will be, must be exalted. And it must be exalted in our hearts and our minds. He continues his prophecy in saying, all nations shall flow unto it. The church is universal in nature. And the law of Moses was for the Jew and for the Jew alone. But the gospel of Christ is universal. It was universal then, it's universal now. He says, all nations shall flow unto it. You see, under the law of Moses, the Gentiles were separated from God and without hope. But God's eternal purpose for the church was to include the Gentiles as well as the Jew. And what God has provided for the Jew under the gospel, he's also provided for the Gentile. A lot of people want to be separate and apart. They want to just be who they are. But God hadn't made it that way. A lot of people think that God has something for the Jew when this life is over that he doesn't have for the Gentile. It's not the case. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 6, Paul said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel. So what God has provided for the Jew, he's also provided for the Gentile. Everything he's provided in the past for the Jew, he provided for the Gentile. Everything he provides in the present for the Jews, he provides for the Gentile. Everything that we look forward to in the future that God has provided for you, he provided for the Jew and the Gentile alike. In Christ, all of us are fellow heirs of the promise of God made to Abraham way in the past. He's a fellow member of the body of Christ in the present, and he's a partaker of the promise of eternal life in the future. And that's what the church gives to each and every one of us that belong to the body of Christ. The Gentile, you and I, the Jews, you and I, will receive the same reward as everyone else, those of us that are in the church. That's why Jesus says, go into the world and teach. Preach the gospel to every creature, because every nation will flow unto it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. We are responsible as a church for carrying the gospel into every corner of this earth. And every man in every corner of this earth is subject to the same terms of the gospel as you and I. It is our responsibility as members of the Lord's church to carry that gospel into all the world. Are we doing that? Isaiah said that all nations shall flow unto it, and we have the responsibility to call every man and every woman to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isaiah said the church is going to look like a people that are calling on God to deliver that gospel message to those that are dying in this world. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 23, Paul says the gospel is preached to every creature under heaven. They had no radios or TVs. They had no printing presses. They had no newspapers. They had no internet, Instagram, Snapchat, or Facebook. They had no cars or planes, but they did the work that God gave them. And if we want to look like the church that Isaiah prophesies, we have to do the work that God has given to us. And the world must see God in us as we work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. For we all are going to stand and give an account to God. And if we fail in meeting our responsibility, we too will be judged in that way. What does the church look like? It looks like a church that runs out into this world and speaks the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. Isaiah continues his prophecy saying, many people shall go and say, come, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He shall teach us his ways. Another identifying mark of the church that Isaiah speaks about is that Christianity is a taught religion. The church was to be taught. It's to be an instructed church. It's not people that's running around here that don't know what to do. You know, I often thought about this phrase a long time ago, and I continue to think about it every now and then. It says, if you lead a horse to water, you can lead him to water, but you can't make him drink. And I say that if he's not going to drink, then you didn't lead him in the beginning. So why even brought him to the water if he doesn't even want any water? God doesn't force us. He doesn't lead us in that way. If we're going to be the church that's identified by Isaiah, we have to be a church that's into God's word, and God's word has to be into us. We've got to learn it. We've got to learn it. Let him teach us his ways. No man can become a member of the church of the Lord. No man, except he first taught the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's an interesting contrast I want you to listen to. We find that under the law of Moses, a man was born into a covenant relationship with God by his physical birth, and then he was taught to know the Lord. Under the new covenant, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a man is first taught to know the Lord, and then by the new birth, he's able to enter into a covenant relationship with God. Thus, the old is gone and the new has arrived into our lives. The church is a taught people from God. And it's through the teaching of the apostles on the day of Pentecost that the church came into being. Not before, only on that day. We find talk of the church after the day of Pentecost that it was in existence. And no man can become a child of God today except he's first taught the will of God. Isaiah continues in our lives to tell us that if we're going to identify the church of today, it has to be a people that are taught by God. He says, and we will walk in his paths, an obedient church, a church that follows God's will in all things, a church that doesn't back away from the truth, a church that doesn't waffle when it comes to different ideas and different opinions about what the world says about the church. We speak the truth because we are an obedient church. And since we speak the truth, we obey the truth. And this identifying mark that we have in our lives, Jesus Christ is the truth, and his light shines in our lives every waking moment of our lives. And people see Christ in us. And because Christ is in us, the church is identified in us as well, and we walk in the paths of God. It's not enough to be taught the will of God. We've got to obey the will of God to become a child of God. In Acts chapter 2, 37 through 41, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles taught those Jews, and they rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So much so, the Bible says that 3,000 souls were baptized on that day. What a wonderful thing it would be to see that in this day and age. In the exact same day when the gospel comes forward, 3,000 souls are being baptized. We become an obedient church unto God. And what about those who are baptized already? Those of us who consider ourselves to be a part of the body of Christ already. We understand that learning God's will is not enough. We have to obey God's will. And when Isaiah prophesies about the church, that's an identifying mark of the church, are those that are obedient, do God's will, those are God's children. And God is their God. So the church, Isaiah prophesies over in Isaiah chapter 2, is made up of an obedient people. The membership is obedient unto God. And we serve one another out of love for Christ and love for one another. If you want to be in the church that was prophesied, you must be obedient to God and service to God and render service to your fellow man as well. He continues his prophecy in Isaiah chapter 2 by saying these words, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn any war anymore. What you're saying to me, Isaiah, that if we are going to be the church that Christ built, the identifying mark of the church is that we are a peaceful people. Peaceful people. And if we are a peaceful people, why is it that you can come to the church and find people willing to fight more so than they're willing to fight out in the world? If we're going to identify ourselves as a church, Isaiah says that we are a church of peace, peaceful people. We're peaceful in nature. We don't beat each other. We beat our plows. We beat our swords. We turn those things in our minds that cause us to sin. And we make peace with God and peace with ourselves as well. Before the death of Christ, the law of Moses stood opposed to Christ. It stood as a wall of separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. But when Jesus died, he made peace between the two nations, Ephesians 2, 13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and he that he might reconcile both unto God in one body to the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We are a peaceful people if we are the church. We seek peace and we love peace. We live peace and we make peace. We make peace with God and we make peace with one another, for God has given us the church, and the church is filled with peace and understanding, one man to another. If you want to identify the church, you've got to know that we are a taught people. We are a people that preaches the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are a peaceful congregation of people, and we go forth and we show forth the word of God in our lives and in our speech. And Isaiah says all those things that I prophesied marks the church. And if we can identify with those things, then are we really the church that was prophesied by Isaiah? In Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says that when Christ died on the cross, all those little things that we make up about religion, and all those little things that we feel that we don't have to do, and all those little things that we want to do on our own when it comes to serving God and not God's will, he says that Jesus Christ crucified those things on the cross. He took them away. He nailed it all to the cross. And in place of the law, Christ established a brand new man, the church, where both Jew and Gentile could be reconciled to God and live forever at peace with God. He reconciled us back to the Father. In Romans 5, 1, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no peace without Christ. There's no peace in the church if we do not have Christ in our hearts and in our minds, if we do not live to be the church. We've got to understand that the makeup that we have, the DNA of the church, is filled with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God knows those who are his. And we have to live our lives in such a way where we do not bring shame upon the church. When we don't bring shame upon God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us as the church that God has called us to be. And there are several things that people do when they obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But one thing that he does do, without a doubt, when you obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you make peace with God. You might not have any peace in your house because that's not what you want. Some people just feel like their house has to be in disarray in order for them to function properly, but that's dysfunctionalism. When you identify the church is not dysfunctional in its obedience to God. The church is filled with peace. Peace. Because we've made peace with God, we're no longer an enemy of God at all. We've made peace with God. And furthermore, when you make peace with God, oh, you can sleep good at night, can't you? Not only can you sleep good at night, if you were to close your eyes and never wake up again, you will sleep well for the rest of eternity. Because you've made peace with God. You find that all the time in the sectarian world, people says, well, you know, I think he made peace with God. Was he baptized? Was he a member of the Lord's church? Did he obey the gospel? He's never made peace with God. If you're not obedient to God, you've never made peace. Never. If you weren't subject to the obedience of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you do not know God, and you've never made peace. Now, you might sleep good at night thinking that in your own heart and mind, but when the day comes for that eternal sleep, there won't be any peace, none whatsoever. Because no man, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your stature, doesn't matter where you're from, your station in life, no man can live at peace with God outside of the church. Can't do it. And we can't be afraid to tell people that. We don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible and tell them they're going to hell. Because listen, everybody in the church is not going to heaven. Hello? We have got to be at peace with God and at peace with ourselves, knowing that we are an obedient people that are led by the Holy Spirit of God, and we are the church of Christ. Don't be ashamed of that at all. Don't be ashamed to tell people that we are the church of Christ. That's who we are. And Isaiah said that's who we were going to be. And God made it possible that today when we look at ourselves, we can know full well that we belong to God. We've obeyed the gospel. We made peace with God. And it's only in the church where the peace of God helps us surpass all understanding that's made available to man. People said in the world too, you know, I've got the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Well, how can you when you don't even understand who God is? You can't have it. You can't have it. Romans 14:17, Paul says these words. For the kingdom of God is not meat, it's not drink. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace. The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. There can be no peace if you're not happy. And you will never be happy if you're not in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're not in the church. There is no peace outside of the church. There's no peace if we can't live in the church with our fellow man and serve one another. There's no peace in our lives if the church that God has called us to is not our dwelling place on this earth. What a wonderful thing that Isaiah has said to us, that if we're going to be the church, a church that was established by the Christ, we have to understand that we are going to be a people that have the church sown into our hearts, a learned people. We are people that are a seeking people, a people that go out and teach the gospel. We're going to be a people that obey God at all turns in our lives. And we're going to make peace with God. And we're going to be the church. We're going to be the church that God has called us to here at 431 Franklin Street. On this day, at this hour, mark it. Allow your heart and your mind to understand who God is and what he has called you to. The church is a wonderful, wonderful establishment that was prophesied by Isaiah. And if you can't see the things that Isaiah is saying to us, maybe then you don't see the church. And maybe someone needs to help you to see the church and realize that Christ lives within us. And the church lives within us. And we live and breathe and have our being just to be able to go and tell the world that we belong to Christ. We belong to the church of Christ. You see, it's not the name of the church, it's the designation. It's a designation. It's not the name. What a wonderful institution that we can belong to just by knowing what God has said about the identifying marks of the church. We need to see Christ. We need to see the church. Understand how special we are, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're called to do the things of God. And one thing that I could vouch for sure in our lives, some of us didn't come into the church the exact same way. Some of us learned in a lot of different ways, but we all were taught the same gospel. Paul says some stumbled in. Some had one lesson and became a member of the Church of Christ as well. You can see it in the scripture. We find some came up through family lines and became members of the Church of Christ. But one thing for sure, the thread that runs through all of that is that God had mercy on each and every one of us. The mercy of God allowed us to be found in the church. And he's also merciful to us in ways that we simply can't understand. To be in the church is a wonderful thing because we have salvation. That salvation is made full and free. Understand what Isaiah is saying. It's not simply a prophecy, it is the truth, and it gives us identifying marks of who we are as God's people. Let's be a people for God. Let's be the church. If we can help you today to be that church, why don't you come, we stand and sing God's invitation song.